Bibles this morning, please, and turn to Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45 this morning. We're going to read verses 1 through 8 in Genesis chapter 45. I'll read aloud as you read silently this morning. That's Genesis chapter 45, verses 1 through 8. Please stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God this morning, please. Genesis chapter 45, and beginning at verse 1, Genesis 45, verse 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. And he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years, in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the excitement and the reality of the Word of God. God, work in our hearts and lives today from the passage that we just read. Use our preacher to help us to hear what you have for us today. Not what a man says, but what the Word of God says. God, work in our lives and our hearts. Now, for that to be accomplished, our pastor is going to need your Holy Spirit power on his life. God, anoint him for this task ahead. And then, Father, has been prayed already this morning. If there's somebody in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior from their sin, I pray before this service is over, they'll get it right and do what they should do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, may I ask you, do you know what Montezuma's revenge is? How many know what that is? You know what I'm talking about when I say Montezuma's revenge. That's what's going to happen if your cell phone goes off. There'll be about an hour and a half delay before it kicks in. And if your cell phone goes off in the service and we hear it, you better get home quick. Please make sure it's turned off or to vibrate. That would help us tremendously this morning. I wish I could take you to Genesis 37 and read everything God's Word says about Joseph until you get to chapter 45 that we read this morning. I think Joseph in the book of Genesis is the greatest human character in the Bible. Jesus is the preeminent one, as always. But I don't think you can find a better man than Joseph. At this point in Genesis 45, where Joseph reveals himself to his brothers, he is the second most powerful man in the world. But 22 years of his life have gone by because those brothers he is revealing himself to now had sold him as a slave. Initially, his brothers wanted to kill him over jealousy. Joseph had done nothing wrong. They just wanted to kill their little brother, and you've been there before too, I'm sure. But in this particular case, they wanted to kill him, and they tossed him into a pit, the Bible says, sat down and ate lunch and talked about how they were going to kill him. These weren't just angry brothers who wanted to slap their little brother around. They wanted to kill him. Band of Ishmaelites came by, and one of the brothers said, "Let's not kill him, let's sell him." And they sold their brother as a slave. Now that means goodbye, you are not only gone from us, you are now a slave for the rest of your life. Those Ishmaelites took Joseph to Egypt. He's 17 when this happens. Those Ishmaelites take Joseph to Egypt and they sell him as a slave again now to Potiphar, who was the captain of the guard of Pharaoh's army. And now Joseph is a slave in Potiphar's house. Twice sold as a slave now. Almost killed by these brothers. Now twice sold as a slave. 20 years will go by. And he will be a slave in Potiphar's house. One day, Potiphar's wife has unholy intentions toward Joseph. He refuses. So then she accuses him of trying to rape her, and now Joseph is thrown in prison. Now, if you take the life of Joseph from Genesis 35 to about chapter 43, you see a man climbing the ladder of success the wrong way. He goes from the pit to Potiphar's house. Now he's imprisoned. He's fortunate Potiphar didn't kill him. So he escapes death again. And now he sits in prison, falsely accused. There is no hope of leaving prison now. You think slavery is bad? Try being in prison in these countries. There's no parole. He'll spend the rest of his life behind bars. That's all he knows. He interprets a dream. And then he interprets a dream for Pharaoh. And Joseph goes from the prison to the palace, and he is second most powerful man in Egypt. A couple of years go by, and those very same brothers who had cost him 20 years, actually 22, 22 years of his life are now before him. They don't know it's Joseph. He looks like an Egyptian. They're begging for some bread and something to eat, and Joseph has the power to destroy them. And Joseph forgives them. He plays a little cat and mouse game with them at first, I believe trying to get them to acknowledge their lives and what they had done, and when they weren't going to do that, then Genesis 45 takes place. And when you start in Genesis 37, that whole story unfolds. Whenever I read that passage of Scripture in Genesis 37 about Joseph, 17 years old, goes out to see his brothers in the field, I cannot stop reading until I get to the 45th chapter. Because when Joseph says, "Tell everybody to go out from me now." And his brothers are there, these murderous, thieving, covetous, wicked, bitter brothers who cost him 22 years of his life. And Joseph says, "I am Joseph, your brother." The Bible said they were troubled. You don't even have to know Hebrew to know what that meant. Here's what it means. Uh-oh. You think that's really him? It's him. And Joseph steps down. He says, "I'm your brother, Joseph. Is Dad still alive?" They can't say anything to him. And Joseph, with the power to destroy these men who cost him 22 years of his life, you know what he tells them? He says, you thought it for bad, but fellas, you know God was in this thing the whole time? And he's given me this place now to preserve your life. And God let all this happen. God brought these pieces together. God, you know, every time I read that, I think to myself, you know, this man, after 22 years of loss because of his past and what people had done to him, he stayed around long enough to see it all come together in the end. And I want to talk to you about that this morning. I want to talk to you about how you can make sense out of your past. Things that have happened to you in your life. Let's face it today, we seem to be a society of crippled people. I'm not talking about physical infirmity now. I'm talking about people who are up here. Things are not right because of what's happened to them in their past. Joseph, after 22 years, what he says there, we'll look at it in Genesis 45 again. Look at verse 7 and 8. Joseph says, "And God sent me before you to preserve your posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." Watch verse 8. "So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." Look. The light came on and Joseph said, "I got it. Now I understand. You were trying to hurt me, but it's okay. It's okay." That's what he's saying. He's not saying, "Okay, I'm powerful. You've had it." And he's also not saying, It was God that did this to me in my life. It's Joseph saying God was weaving the threads of the difficulties of these last 2 years, 22 years. God was weaving this tapestry so I could preserve life for our family. That's what this is all about. I got it now. I got it. People, listen to me. You and I have to learn how to make sense out of things from our past. By the way, not everyone's going to handle their past like Joseph did. Bitter, angry, hostile, mad at the whole stinking world, mad at God. Because they didn't handle the things of their past the way they should. And some of us carry a bit of baggage from the past, yes? Some things that have happened to us. But everyone has a past. Yes, we all have things that have happened to us as we grew up through our lives, and not everyone's going to handle it like Joseph handled it. There'll be people who will be bitter. Some of you folks, you still hold it against people in your life, what people did to you from your past. Oftentimes, a woman will hold against her husband or her children or her friends what someone did to her in her past. They didn't do anything to her, but they have to pay the price for it. Oftentimes a man will hold things against his wife and his children and his friends, people with whom he works. He has a problem with all these people because of something that happened in his past, and they keep carrying that with them. They can't make sense out of it. Joseph is saying, you know what, fellas? This was all about what God was doing through even the wrong that you did. Do you understand? He's not saying God made the wrong happen. He's saying God made the wrong you did turn into something that's good. We know a verse for that, don't we? Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We know that verse. Joseph saw it in his life. How do you make sense out of your past? You have to, but you have to make a right sense out of this. Something, you have to do this the right way. By the way, it isn't what Joseph did in the moment when his brother stood there. He wasn't standing there filled with hatred and anger and bitterness and resentment for everything in his life, and his brothers were there, and he said, oh, well, okay. When they came before him, Joseph was all ready for this. Listen now, you deal with your past according to how you live it. Your past. You know how you make sense out of your past? You do what Joseph did. Number one, you stay faithful in your past. That's what Joseph did. See, the most repeated statement about Joseph in Genesis 37 to Genesis 50 is, and the Lord was with Joseph. Most repeated statement. Anytime the Bible repeats itself, it's not because it needs to fill pages with ink. It's God's trying to get a point across. And the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph. See, this whole thing about Joseph in his life and what he was and what he did and how he lived his life, it's because Joseph stayed faithful in his past. Go back just a couple pages in Genesis now to Genesis 41. You're in 45, about two pages turn maybe, unless you got a large print Bible and it's about 12 pages. Go to Genesis chapter 41 and look at verse 50. Here's Joseph, and this is Joseph right in the middle of all this now. He's right in the middle of the time. He has now come out of the prison, and now he is there in Pharaoh's palace. He's the second most powerful man. He marries. He has two sons. And look at these names. Genesis 41. Look at verse 50 of Genesis 41. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. Verse 51. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God said he, now watch, he'll define the name Manasseh for you. For God said he hath made me forget all my toil. Best commentary on the Bible is the King James Bible. And it says it right here. That's what Manasseh means, forgetting. For God hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. Verse 52. And the name of the second son he had, he called Ephraim. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Forgetting and fruitful. Listen, Joseph lived in the past, a man who learned how to forget things and how to be bountiful in what he should be doing in his life. You see, I'll tell you when I get this thing about my past right. When all those people come and tell me why they did to me what they did, and when God finally explains all the sorrows and troubles I had, and when God straightened, no. You think the present is going to make your present the way it is. It's how you live in the past. And my friend, if you'll stay faithful to the God of heaven, and you'll realize how important it is that you stop sitting around with the foolishness of the idea that all we have to do is just think about my past and think about my past and think about my past and relive that past and go over it again in my mind constantly. No, the first son was Manasseh, and that was put it behind you. It means forgetting. He said, you know what, I just decided, all right, I'm here. This is my life. This is the way it came. I'm not going to sit around and think about it all the time. By the way, can I say this to you this morning? Listen to me. That's the fallacy. There's many of them. That's the fallacy of psychiatry and psychology. You need to sit around and think about it, talk about it, have group sessions, discuss your talk, or go over and over your past and you get it all resolved. Hogwash. You put it behind you with the grace of God and you go on. That's what you do. By the way, and if you don't do that, the people in your present and in your future are going to suffer your past with you. That's why they tell us today, I was abused as a child, beaten by a drunken stepfather. That's why they tell those that were abused as children why we are abusers, because of our past. Can I tell you, there's nothing more stupid, foolish, and wicked that you're going to make people suffer what you encountered in your life and then blame your past for that. That's ridiculous. No, excuse me. We have four children, have now five grandchildren. Not going to beat on any of those grandkids. Not going to beat on any of my children either, because I was beaten as a child. I didn't like it. Why in the world would I want to do that to somebody else? Forgetting. But don't just do that. Be fruitful. That means to be abounding in what you're supposed to be doing in life. Don't just get busy, friend. Don't just occupy yourself with the things of life and the things of this world. Get busy doing what God wants you to do. He didn't dwell on the wrong, and he stayed busy doing what he should do. Faithfulness, listen now, faithfulness to God and to his word is protection against bitterness and discouragement. In Exodus chapter 15, the children of Israel, when they first began their journey from Egypt to the promised land, they came to what the Bible called the bitter waters of Marah. And that's what the word Marah means, bitterness. They're out in the middle of nowhere, and they come across a pool of water. And we're talking 3 to 4 million people. So it wasn't just a pond. It was big enough to water them and their cattle. And finally, after the long, hot, dreary desert journeys, they come to the waters of Marah, and they taste it, and they spit it out and said, the water's bitter. And they start complaining. God tells Moses, he says, see that tree over there? Pull that tree up and throw it in the water. It'll make it sweet. Did you know there's no tree that makes bitter water sweet? There isn't one. But that's not what Exodus 15 says anyway. It says, if you'll just do what I told you to do and pull that tree up and throw it in the water, that bitter, it isn't the tree that made the water sweet. It was their obedience that made that water sweet. God blessed their obedience, and that's what made the water sweet. Look at me. That's why, listen, you can't just sit around in your life, do what you want, live the way you want, go where you want, be what you want, and expect you to deal with, you can't deal with your past. You can't do that. Faithfulness to God is how it works. This is how Joseph came to make sense out of his past, because in his past, he was a faithful man. Everywhere you drop Joseph, Joseph was faithful to God. Why? He doesn't have any reason to be faithful to God. He's been wronged, but it didn't affect his obedience. They take Daniel from his homeland, kill all of his people, take him to Babylon's palace, put Daniel as a teenage boy with a handful of his teenage friends in a palace, and tell them they're going to feed him with the best of the king's meat, give him the best of the king's wine, give him the best education the king could give him. And Babylon, that was the greatest empire of the world at the time. What's a teenage boy? What's his chance of standing up against an empire in the palace where the king lives and say, I'm not violating a dietary law? Because that's all that was a dietary law, eating the meat and drinking the wine. What's a teenage boy have a chance of doing anything like that, take a stand for right? What's a teenage boy have a chance of doing that when the Bible says his friends were eating the meat and drinking the wine? Because when Daniel said, I can't do that, the prince of the eunuchs in charge of them said, well, the friends of your sort are doing this. His friends sold out. Daniel's alone. Hostile country. But Daniel purposed in his heart he would not defile himself. He was faithful. You hear me? Listen now, you're withdrawing from what God would have you to do when the truth is your hope of ever making sense out of your past is step up to what God tells you to do. You know how you make sense out of your past? You stay faithful in the past. You know how you make sense out of your past? You stay right in your past. Right. When the Bible says, and the Lord was with Joseph, do you know what that means? It means Joseph was with the Lord. That's what that means. God was partnering with him through his life. Okay, example. Here's Joseph. He's taken now to Potiphar's house. He's about 10 years into his enslavement. Potiphar's wife comes to him and says, hey, big boy, and makes the goo-goo eyes at him. And Joseph looks at her and says, what's the point? I might as well just go ahead and throw my purity out the door too. I mean, what's the point? I've been sold into slavery. What's the point? Hey, what's the point of it all? Where's God in all of this? You know what Joseph tells her? I can't sin against God and my master and touch you. That's just not right. Who is this young man? I'll tell you what he was. This guy stayed right. That's what the key is. He stayed right in what he was supposed to do. He stayed not just faithful, but he would stay right about this thing when he had no support groups and he had no one to help him and he had no one to back him up. Joseph was with the Lord and the Lord was with Joseph. Can I ask you a question this morning? Does God owe you something, or do you owe him more than you could ever pay him back for? Okay, now see, the difference is this. The person who says, I'll tell you what kind of life I've had, and I'll tell you something God owes me, that person must not have the same salvation I have. Because you see, I owed a debt I couldn't pay. I owed a debt of sin to God that I would have to pay in hell forever to pay. You too, by the way. And then, 9-year-old boy, American Baptist Church, Antioch, California. White knuckle flight every Sunday as I stood there and held onto that pew knowing I needed to be saved. But not just, I have such a fear of going up in front of people. Still do. Been doing it for 30-some years, but still do. And I stood there and I thought, I don't know, I can't do that. And I thought, I can't take it anymore. I have to get saved today. And that day, ladies and gentlemen, I walked that aisle in that little Baptist church in Antioch, California. And I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And that day, God took the sin debt of a 9-year-old and justified me in the sight of God by faith in Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that was 9 years old. I'm 58 now this week, by the way. Thank you for all the birthday cards and gifts and all you smart alecks who sent me cat stuff. Thank you, 10,000 times thank you. Needed targets anyway. But anyway, the point is, next year I'll be 50 years in the grace of God. And I'll never be able to pay him back. Just for salvation. Do you understand? Just for salvation. God doesn't owe me anything. So don't give me that stuff of, well, everyone else is doing that. You are a coward and you know it. You have forgotten. If you're a child of God this morning, you've forgotten. You owed a debt you could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. And he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, my soul, a child of God should be so thankful just for being saved. That ought to keep you on track in your life. I'm not going to pay him for my salvation. Any life that I live is not in any way trying to say, here's what I'm trying to do for God. I'm just trying to say, you know, God, I can't believe you give me salvation. I can't believe it. I owe you so much just to be saved. Then, you know, if you think about it real carefully, he did sprinkle a few more blessings along the way after your salvation. Yes? Yeah, that's right. Oh. Then you start stacking all that stuff up. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many cursings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what IRS has done. God bless you, Mrs. Boyles. Is that how you look at it? Huh? After the pastor's conference this week, we had a chance for the first time in a long time to get almost all of our kids together, all the kids and grandkids. We were on the same roof for about a day and a half, which is just about enough for that many people. We took them down to the Pismo Beach area. It was one of our favorite places to go. And we just took them down there and just watched them run in the water and play. And just run in circles and scream their heads off. That's all. Just run in circles and scream their heads off every time the water would just touch their feet. Ah! And our grandson Joel, who's here, when he runs, he pumps one arm. This one hangs and he pumps that arm. Little almost two-year-old, pumping that arm. Running in circles. Yeah, God owes me for growing up in a drunkard's home, being a Baptist, daddy Baptist preacher, ran off with one of the women in the church, and mother turned to drink, became a drunkard. God owes me. God doesn't owe me anything. You hear me? And so when the tempter comes and sin is presented to us in our lives, if you justify that in your mind, you think, you know what, I have a right to this wrong. You've forgotten the blessings of God in your life. How else could this young man, with no hope in his life, how else could he be right when everything was so wrong in his life? You know why? He stayed faithfully and he stayed with being right through his past. So I haven't done that, Pastor Johnson. Then now's the time to fix it. Then now's the time to get on the right wagon. Time to get there. Time to start doing the right thing. Get the right thing. Get your ducks in order. Get your life in order. And somewhere along the way in your faithfulness, and somewhere along the way in being right before God and right with God and right about God and right about all the rest of it, God will make sense out of all that. So, example, please, if I may. So I grew up in a drunkard's home for a good portion of my childhood. So I didn't have a childhood to speak of. You live in a drunkard's home, you really don't have a childhood. You really don't. They're fighting and drinking and carrying on, acting like fools. You don't really have a childhood. But now for these last several years, many years, I've enjoyed the childhood of my children, our children, and I'm now enjoying a second round through the grandkids. So I'm in my third childhood. The one I didn't have, and the two I'm getting to relive. And the grandkid thing, it is great. Because we got us a place there, had a house, had this four bedroom, three bathroom house thing, but it had a little separate grandma house in the back. And when we got there, the kids say, who gets that house? I go, you know who gets that house. Y'all stay in here with all these screaming idiot kids. We're going to have fun, and when it's time to go to bed, Grams and I are going out there and getting that little house in, close the door. We get in the next morning, I say, how'd everybody do? Well, one of the kids was crying. I go, didn't hear a thing. That's great. Make them rotten and give them back to their parents. It's beautiful. You stay right, and God will make sense out of your past. Last thing Joseph does is this. 22 years goes by. 22 years. He's staying faithful. He's staying right. And he just stayed at it. And then Joseph says, now I know why. I got it. God was working this whole thing together. It just took 22 years. That's all. So that's a long time, Pastor Johnson. Yes. Yes. Twice sold as a slave, two brushes with death, and an imprisonment. That's not pleasant. Look here. But God did make sense out of it, now didn't he? How would it have been if Joseph would have just chucked it all and quit on God just before his brother showed up? Why does he make us wait like that? Why do we have to wait? I don't know. I don't understand the timing of God. I really don't. The Bible does say in Ecclesiastes, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Time to be born, a time to die, a time to dance, a time to refrain from dancing, time to kill, a time to weep, all that stuff that's there. I think there's a hymn named after that somewhere from the 60s, if I remember right. But all that stuff that's there, do you realize, you know what I'm talking about. Do you realize, every time I read that Ecclesiastes 3, I got to get right with God because of the song going through my mind. Do you realize that all it took was just 22 years? Do you think it was worth it to hang around for that long? Or, look at me, or would it have been better for Joseph to quit and die in his bitterness? You give God time, he'll make sense out of this thing. Well, I'm waiting, Pastor John. No, you're not waiting. You're not going to get anything out of all that. No, I'm sorry. A lot of what we do as preachers is deal with people who are just consumed with their life, and they think everybody owes them something. Their mom owes them something. Their dad owes them something. You say, well, you talk about your past. But people don't owe me anything. My mom's in heaven now. My dad lives in this town, doesn't want anything to do with our family even to this day. But he doesn't owe me anything. It's all right. I got a wife that loves me, and I love her, and I got kids that love me, and I love them, and we got grandchildren. We got a life. God's blessed us with a wonderful ministry. I'm okay. Hey, everything's okay. Do you think, listen, I used to live in this town in a drunkard's home. Do you think I saw that when I was a little boy, laying in a bed up here in a house in Central Valley, now Shasta Lake City, lying there at night, listening to them beat on each other and breaking furniture and the swearing and the cursing? Do you think I saw that as a boy, walking across that old rolling linoleum floor with my bare feet and stepping on my mother's teeth when I walked to the kitchen cabinet to get a bowl out, to have a bowl of cereal? Do you think I saw that then? I didn't see anything but sorrow and sadness. But now, everything's all right in my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house. It's okay. The good thing about the past is this. You stay around long enough and let God help and work and do what you're supposed to do, it'll be just that. It'll be past. You really want to do that now. You want to let it go. But you have to do it the right way. Faithful, right, and stay with God on this thing long enough, he'll make sense out of your path. And Joseph said, God brought all this about. And he wasn't mad about it. He just said, I got it. I see it now. So will you. Let's stand to our feet, please, would you? Our heads bowed and eyes closed this morning.